This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. In just a second, we'll throw it to our special guest, but I got to throw this out there. Marquise Bell is going to miss the rest of the season with that shoulder injury, which when you saw it, I can't say it was surprising. It was weird to me when they were like, he might come back in the game. There's no way. So
nasty.
He is going to be out for the rest of the season, adding to the Cowboys' injury woes.
Bones yesterday was in tears, by the way, talking about that because of how special of a player he is for him.
I get it. I do. But right now, let's turn our attention to AEW wrestler, double Ring of Honor champion. He's an icon. I'm going to say it. It's Dustin Rhodes joining us today. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing fantastic as well. Incredible. And remember, tonight, the AEW Texas kickoff party. It's going to be at Texas Live. It's running from 6 to 9. It's free to get in. Dustin is going to be among those people there, and we can talk about all of that. But we're getting you ready for All In next summer. And as a shameless plug, remember in a week for Peace-a-thon, we have a 4-pack of tickets to All In to auction off.
Ooh, that's big.
See?
That's big.
He gets it?
Yeah. Before we get started, yeah. I know Kevin just said this off air, but the last time we talked with you, it was in that little studio, and you left such an impression on me that I was like, wow. I'm a fan for life of that guy right there. Because you were like, you're just nice and respectful, and you seemed excited to be here and excited to be part of everything. So I just really appreciate that and wanted to say thank you again. I'm sure I overthanked you last time, too.
Thank you very much. My daddy raised me right, man. I'm a very humble individual.
That is awesome.
And because he's a Texan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We were raised right in Texas, man. All of us.
Except for the teams that you root for sometimes,
what do you mean?
Right?
Come on.
All right, so we got to get into this.
Okay.
You can either help us fix the Cowboys, or we can start talking trash about November 30th when your Longhorns play my Aggies.
Right. Okay, let's start with Dallas.
All right. Hey, do you have any ideas? Because the whole thing has really been going poorly.
Get rid of Jerry Jones.
Okay.
We got to talk to him.
We have Jerry. Yeah. Do you want us to play that cut? Dustin Rhodes says, get rid of Jerry Jones.
I mean, I love the Cowboys, but they break my heart every year. You know, and this year, it's just like, I'm not even watching. It's crazy because they've lost 5 home games.
Yep.
I mean, just by huge points. It's
they've been crazy. Behind by 20-plus points in 6 straight home games.
What is happening? Nobody's passionate anymore? Or what's going on in the office? What's going on behind the scenes? Give McCarthy full control, please.
Yeah.
And I think we have a chance.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, on something like that.
Interesting.
I mean, I don't know if Jerry Jones wants to win a Super Bowl.
Oh, we've discussed that many times. As long as the money keeps flowing in, I'm with you on that.
I mean, it's America's team, right?
Yes.
Everybody hates Dallas except us. But Dallas is huge. It's what a franchise. To win another Super Bowl? I mean, my God, it's been forever. Come on, we could win 2-3 in a row. I mean, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs right now. I'm surprised they lost that game the other day.
Against Buffalo, yeah. What about the quarterback deficiency compared to Kansas City and realistically everybody else in the NFL, but compared to Dak?
Man, Dak, I mean, his stats are so good. But what's going on this year?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it him?
And now he's hurt.
I know Rush is in, but Rush is a backup quarterback. Nothing against him. I like him. He's done well, but still, we need something.
Ooh, I have a football wrestling question.
Oh.
And this is based off of, I'm not a huge Dak fan. I think he's a good quarterback.
He is.
For some reason, when Dak plays in a playoff game or this super huge game, he gets the least out of himself. He always plays his worst football in the biggest moments. You don't have to specifically say this wrestler, but are there certain wrestlers where they've been really good as maybe not the major card guy, and then they get elevated because they're like, look, you've been doing really well, and for some reason they couldn't handle the pressure of they're kind of now pushed into being like the guy or one of the main guys?
Yeah, you're going to sink or swim in that instance, right? We get opportunity after opportunity, man, and it's up to us to shine or fail. And the crowds are going to let you know. The good thing about Texan crowds are they love and they're very passionate about pro wrestling. What works in Texas might not work in New York City or California or Oregon or wherever, right? There's different places, so you got to be able to adapt. And being given the ball is a lot of responsibility, and it's not for everybody, right? I mean, because you are on the clock 24/7 doing everything. You're the leader of the company. You are the quarterback. You are, you know, the revenue is coming in, and you're doing your part to bring these fans in. And it's hard for some people. It's very hard. If you were born into the business like me, and you love it and you're passionate, and you actually, I get that chance, I'm going to run with it. I'm not going to be scared of anything. But time is running out for me. I'm 55 years old, but I've had a hell of a career, right?
Yeah.
But the one thing you get into the pro wrestling industry for is to become world heavyweight champion. My brother's got it. My dad had it. I have not. And that bothers me. It really sticks in my craw a little bit. And I want a chance at that. And just give me a run. Let me show you what I can do.
I'm 47 now, unfortunately. Just turned 47. A couple back surgeries.
New 30s.
Used to pitch. There's no, like, I don't want to pitch anymore because I don't want, because I know I can't do it, right? I can't do it at the level I used to do it at. So I don't even really want to do it, if that makes sense. How do you, at your age, keep doing what you're doing and do it at a level that maybe would put you up for world champion?
So, you know, it begins with training. When you start your training, you know, back in the olden days, man, we were on the road 300 days a year. So your body gets calloused. It gets used to all the pain and all the, you know, the impact of everything. But if you land the right way, which is you're not going to do 100% of the time, you're going to land and it's going to be off a couple inches, and that's something drastic can happen. And just, but if you really hone your craft and learn how to do these things with repetition, you're going to be just fine. But man, I've had 15 surgeries. My knees need replacements. I don't know what's holding me together. That red light comes on, we perform. I pay for it afterwards, but I don't want to let the fans down. And I'm still passionate enough about the business and I'm not slowing down just quite yet. And I think when that day happens, when that day occurs, I'm going to know that, you know what? I'm not going to be one of those prideful idiots and say, I'm going to keep going until I'm 65 or 70 like Ric Flair. I'm going to know it's enough and take a back seat, you know? I'm kind of doing that right now anyways, being a mentor, but still, you know, having two belts, it's great. And I'm working really hard. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm down to high school weight, which I haven't been since high school.
You look and spelt.
Huh?
You look svelte. You look great.
Thank you. I mean, it's not like the old days where everybody was 350 pounds, right? Bodybuilders and stuff. It's more of a fit business now, right? Their physiques are more athletic build or fit. So that works for me. And I'm just happen to be tall. So, yeah.
We got to know Ross and Marshall Von Erich when we were still a night show. They were very young and just kind of getting into it all. And we were like, all right. And it's been a really fun relationship, and I know your relationship with them is unique. Having been born into the business, them having been born in, do y'all share a lot of experiences with that, or do y'all talk about it much in the conversation of being like-minded in that aspect?
We do, absolutely. And you know, having Kevin there, their father, it's the other. You know, over the summer when we won the 6-man world tag team titles. Their dad, Kevin, was with them and us, and it was so special, right? But Kevin has put it into their heads that, because I've known Kevin a long time and been in the business for 36 years, he said, you guys listen to Dustin, right? He's not going to lead you awry or lead you astray. And they are constantly saying, okay, I would like to do this, this, and this. And I'm like, well, hold on. Let's put this here instead of there. So placement of things. And then they understand it and they grasp it. So me mentoring them, I love it. These kids are hungry and passionate, just like I was when I started, right? And having Kevin out there, it's a dream come true for sons. I remember my dad, the first time, you know, we wrestled together, it was like, what the hell? It was great. You can't top it. So it's a special moment for them. And I just hope that they continue, you know, getting the reps, getting better, and they will. You know, they're young. God, thank God they're young.
I remember them telling us that the day that they had talked to him about wrestling with them for the first time.
Yes.
And he was like sick with the flu and everything. And they said immediately he jumps up, starts doing push-ups. He's like, I'm getting ready right now.
Yeah.
I was like, that's what I'm, that's the passion. That's
old school, man. Yeah. That's that work ethic.
That never leaves you. And you've got another, like, that's the six-man tag team championships. Yeah. The Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships with Sammy Guevara, and I actually saw him wrestle numerous times on the independent scene before AEW was even a thing. What can you tell us about him? Because obviously he's got plenty of local connections as well.
Another young kid, right? He's from Houston, Texas. So, I mean, having the opportunity to mentor Sammy Guevara is pretty cool too, because Sammy... And I think the reason that it works is I'm more of the old school storyteller and he's the high flyer. So you have a little mix of both and it's exciting. And so far the fans are really digging us together. So that's cool. I mean, I want to run with this as long as possible. Sammy's a great talent. He's just young.
Yeah.
So he needs some, you know, structure. And I'm doing my best to structure things for him and to see things that he would do. And do them well, and let's get in there and have some fun. And I think it's all about just having fun.
All right, before we started this was interesting to me, because as a kid going to the Sportatorium, the one that I was excited to see but most scared to see was Kabuki. Mm-hmm. And you said your first match, professional match, was against Kabuki?
In Japan.
In Japan.
Yeah, your first match in Japan was against. So I guess if you're around my age, in your 40s, and you watched... world class championship wrestling at the Sportatorium, Kabuki was awesome, mm-hmm. like to see, just because so different and the green smoke juice stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it's cool.
So what was it like getting to, maybe this is just too much of a personal question for me. Hopefully the audience loves this, but I'm excited to hear what it was like to wrestle Kabuki.
Well, like, I'm 19 years old, so I'm terrified out of my mind, right? I'm just kind of starting in the business, had been training probably 10 months. Had a lot of matches. You know, my mentors were Steve Kern and Mike Graham. My dad's mentor was Eddie Graham, Mike Graham's father. So in Florida is where I started. But I actually started right here at Doug's gym with Skandar Akbar.
Oh, yeah.
Downtown Dallas. Yeah. And trained with him for about six months, and then went to Florida. But stepping in the ring with Kabuki, you know, which you watched as a kid, a very scary character. There were several that were scary to me that I was terrified of. He was one of them. The Spoiler was one. You know, Ox Baker was one.
Yes.
These guys terrified me, right? Even Nikita Koloff, when he was in his heyday, when he was at top, on the top, was just like, I don't want to be sickled by this guy.
Is it true that he talks like that all of the time?
No.
Okay.
You know, he was just in gimmick,
playing
a part. He's a great guy. I think he's a preacher now. He does some ministry stuff. But Kabuki, it was very cool. They would send, you know, the young guys would come over to me and say, because we were in separate locker rooms, right? I didn't talk to him or anything like that. Let's do this, 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 and this. And I'm like, yes, sir, you got it. Getting in there with him, you're just like, oh shit, he's gonna kill me, but he didn't, right? He led me through this match, and it was actually pretty cool, and it was like very fun and very cool to be in there with such a legend like him.
Well, we have a lot more to talk about. Could you stay around for another segment?
Sure.
Outstanding. We'll continue our chat with Dustin Rhodes and talk about how you can get into the kickoff party tonight. Here's the easy way. It's free, and it's at Texas Live, so you can make it happen from 6 to 9 tonight in Arlington. We'll talk some more about All In and shamelessly plug other things in our charity auction. All of it coming up next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We threw the natural theme in there from WCW just for you. We've got Dustin Rhodes in studio with us now. We need to address something that happened in the break. Alec is a ginormous wrestling fan, and he talked about how two of his three emotional experiences watching wrestling involved Dustin Rhodes, to which Dustin then asked, did you see my match with Cody at Double or Nothing in 2019? Alec, what happened after that?
I said that I was holding it back, and it's true. I was welling up. I was trying to hold back the emotion, and I succeeded that time. But you know, last time I got emotional was when him and Cody won the tag titles, and I was, what, maybe 14? So, you know, times have changed a little bit.
So what I just heard,
13. So
what I just heard, Dustin, was he thought it was a pretty good match.
I thought it was a fantastic match.
Maybe not a 5-star classic that he was looking for.
No, it definitely was. It definitely was. Don't put words in my mouth. Okay. But you know, I held it together so I could enjoy the cinema that was happening in the squared circle.
You didn't even get emotional when Cody's like, I don't need a tag team partner. I need my brother. And that they hugged, and it was amazing.
That almost got me. That almost got me. It really did. It was such a great story. And that's one that's going to stick around. I love being emotionally invested in these things. So that was really fun.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. Now, speaking of being emotionally invested, you talked about the spoiler. We showed you a program we have from World Class Championship Wrestling back from 1976. As well as some autographed pictures of the Von Erich family. I know we've talked about your relationship with Marshall and Ross, but just seeing this kind of throwback stuff, which will also be available during Peace-a-thon, what comes to mind from your training or your childhood or any of that?
I remember a lot of those programs like that because Dad had every one of them at the house. He also had a lot of, when he was on the cover of Pro Wrestling Illustrated or The Wrestler, he had every cover. And
yes.
I still have it in storage. And it must be 300 magazine covers. And it's just wonderful history, right? But to see the old cards like that, it brings back memories from the early days. Because I remember them like it was yesterday.
That's awesome.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I actually wanted to play that WCW theme, because I was going to ask the very basic.
I'm trying to buy it right now.
Okay. All right.
People were always reaching out to me. They're like, oh, I want this theme, man. You should play the theme now. I'm like, might be a little outdated for now, but you know, it still brings back a little.
And we were talking about the War Games.
Uh-huh.
And Wrestle War 1992. I know, obviously, not a singles match, but
the greatest.
Yes. One of the greatest matches I've ever seen. The best War Games match I've ever seen. I know you've been doing this for a long time, but what is it like when they go, all right, we're going to lock you in a double cage with 9 other people, 5 of which really don't like you, and let's just see what happens.
I want to be first.
Okay.
I want to be the first in.
Then you can be prepared.
Yeah, I want to last the hour.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
like
a big thing for me. So if I get to go in first in the cage, I'm in there to the end. It's like a feather in your cap. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Many, many War Games I did, and I loved them all. That one was very special, man. 92 with Sting Squadron and the Dangerous Alliance.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, Florida is where we actually did it, and that crowd was just nuts. Crazy loud, and it just feeds us, you know. The energy's off the chart.
So we've talked a lot about the difference between even that era of wrestling and modern wrestling, and I was joking with Mike. I know he told you in the break that he had been to the Sportatorium several times. My reintroduction to him to modern wrestling was at the Curtis Culwell Center for AEW in 2021, Winter is Coming. The very first match on the main card was Hangman Page and Brian Danielson going to an hour draw. Mm. And he looked at me about halfway through and he goes, hey, are all the matches this long? And I go, no, I do believe we're headed towards the longest match in AEW history.
Yeah.
I know going an hour used to be, that's just what you did. But can you kind of break down, like, whether it's time differences, move sets, whatever, all the differences that you've seen shift throughout your career?
Absolutely. My dad and Ric Flair were involved in many of those. In Harley Race, I remember them. I went to them as a kid. It's a long time, right? And back in the 80s, it was very different than it is now. So if you're going to go an hour, you better perform for these people. It's not, you're not going to do the same things they did in the 80s or late 70s in
you
an
just
hour
hold
match.
That headlock is, for a while.
Yeah. No, they're going to boo you out of the building.
Yep.
You got to be more energetic. You got to do a lot more to have them involved and get them kind of amped up. And it's tough. An hour's a long time. I remember my first hour match. It was me and Ricky Steamboat versus Arn Anderson and Bobby Eaton. They were the tag team champions in WCW. We were in the Omni, which is kind of like Madison Square Gardens of Atlanta, Georgia. And the crowd's electric. We're supposed to go to a draw. At 45 minutes, I freak out. I'm so tired. I tag Ricky Steamboat. I wasn't supposed to. He comes in. They switched the titles that night off of my mess up.
Oh.
We still went like 58 minutes. But then after that, and it was just, it was because of my mess up, right? Now we're the champion. So we had to get it back on track. But they're able to do that on the fly like that, right? And the next one, you know, we did like 2 months in a row of our matches and it became easier. But that was my first. And I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh boy, I better, you know, do something here. But then the more you do them, the more you get used to it. And the time just goes like that. But you better keep the fans involved when you're doing an hour match, because that is a long time.
You just mentioned a couple of them. We were talking about some of your mentors off air, and somebody asked us on the Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line, can you guys ask Dustin about his relationship with Barry Windham? And I know you told us, but what did he mean to you coming up in the business and perhaps now?
He's like 6 years older than me, but I grew up around him. Him and Blackjack Mulligan, his dad, were always in, you know, Texas around the house or something. So he's my best friend for many, many, many years. You know, he's not real good right now. He's in a bad way, health problems and stuff.
He have a heart attack, I believe?
He did. I visited him in the hospital, and I love him to death, man. I just hope that he stays with us. You know, because, I mean, I've seen so many just tragedies over my 36 years, and it really stinks, right? You don't want to see that, but that happens all over the world in every business. But for us, we're so close to it, and I just hope he stays around because he meant the most to me. I tried to mimic everything I did in the ring like him, hitting the ropes especially. Because when he hit the ropes, you believed it. Because he would hit them so hard and so fast. And that's what I try to teach my students.
Now, what kind of atmosphere are you anticipating tonight? Texas Live. Obviously, we've all been to Texas Live many, many times for the All-In kickoff party. I know the event itself is not till July of next year. But All-In kickoff party tonight. Who all is going to be out there? Not that we need anybody else, but who else is going to be out there with you?
Well, we have the ex-Dallas Mavericks, Satnam Singh, is going to be there.
See, Mike? Nice. I don't think he believed me the first time I said, oh, yeah, he's a wrestler now. And he goes, no, he's not. And I was like, he is.
We're going to have Abaddon, a crazy little zombie chick. Sammy Guevara will be there with myself. We have Athena. Who else is there?
We've had Athena on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Outrunners, who are very, very crowd popular right now. They're doing an amazing job. And they work like it's the 80s. So it's like coming back, and it's pretty cool to see them, you know, get their moment in the sun. It's going to be a fun night tonight, man.
How excited.
I hope you come out.
Go ahead.
I don't want to dip too far back into this, but I did. When I watched the Iron Claw movie, I felt like I was like sitting there in the stands watching this movie. How have you gotten a chance to see that?
I have.
How authentic was the action and some of the things that you saw in
it? It was pretty authentic. I know they strayed from the story just a little bit, and maybe some of the family members were upset at that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean,
like that time period.
It brings back memories, man. And it just feels like I'd watched that before. I mean, not knowing in the inside of the family workings and things, but just seeing these and being fans of them for my whole life growing up was like, I always watched World Class. That's all I got.
Yeah.
On my little bitty black and white television in my bedroom, about, you know, 4 inches long. You know, it was crazy. I just had that little bitty TV, but I watched it religiously, loved it. I didn't really get Florida where Dad was until I visited him, right?
Yeah.
Or WC or NWA or WWF at the time, or AWA. You know, I always got maybe Mid South.
Okay.
Or World Class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
there's one other thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the you've had different names.
Yeah.
You've had different characters that you've gotten to build. Mm-hmm. Has that been an exciting thing to go, all right, this is what I'm taking on now? And how has that evolution happened for you each time?
Oh, yeah, it's tough. I mean, when you're given a character, especially the far out character as I used to have in WWE Goldust, that was a scary moment. Scary because I'm trying to be a bad guy, a heel, plus this outlandish character.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what I'm doing. I've always been the redneck from Austin, Texas, Dustin Rhodes, right? So I stepped into it and I gave it a try, and it took about 6 months before I actually did some things that were stepping and crossing the line just a little bit, but that's when it worked. And once it worked, I was like, I was scared because they were screaming all kinds of really bad things at me and throwing things. And I was like, I think I can do this. Right. But you have to step out of your, if you're going to do a character, you got to go all in on it. Right. And that's the first time I did something like that. And it was terrifying, but I finally stepped into my own little shoes, right? I wasn't Dusty's son anymore, trying to live up to his name. I did something on my own, and I'm very proud of that. It's a great character. And, you know, of course, they want me back. Everybody wants me back. Everybody loves the natural Dustin Rhodes or Gold Dust, right? But I'm here now. I love All Elite Wrestling. It's the best boss on the planet. I'm having fun.
We've had him on the show several times, really? Too. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tony's a special character, man.
He is a special
great man.
I like the way you said that. A lot of energy.
A lot of energy.
Was there?
You got to be really listening to him to catch everything he's saying, because he talks 100,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, he does.
I think that is fair. Now, you talked about, and I want to dip back into, we'll get into the party tonight and All In next summer at Globe Life Field. You were talking about like the newness of the Goldust character. I know there was some discussion about Razor Ramon, Scott Hall. Did he just eventually not want to work with you anymore? Because that has been a rumbling for a long time.
Yeah, it was a touchy situation back then. And I understand. I was doing my job, you know, and I felt he didn't want to be a part of it, you know.
Yeah.
We did reconcile and become close afterwards, you know, years down the road. But that was a tough time. And I'm just working. I'm just trying to bring this character to life and be the best it can be. And I think he took it a little bit too personal.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned, you talked to us about Cody some off air. We've had, you guys both have been studio before, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I know you're happy in AEW, and he's happy doing his thing. Is it tough, though, because you guys did get to, you know, wrestle each other, team together, be in the same place for a while, and then you have to separate it again? Does that make it tough for you, or are you like, you know, I get it, we're both doing our own thing?
I've been in the business a long time, right?
Yeah.
So it's like riding a bike to me. I miss him terribly. I don't get to see him as much because he lives in Atlanta, you know? Every time we're over there, I try, but he's gone. He's championship scheduled right now.
Yeah.
He's the quarterback of the company. He's doing everything to bring people in, and I'm very proud of him. As you know, my younger brother, he's doing amazing things.
Agreed.
He's got a great mind on him for the business, and that's why he's in that position that he's in. And hats off to him. I love him to death, and I hope this run lasts for a long, long time.
Agreed.
Yeah, that was impressive to watch, because when he came in by himself and just texted,
he didn't have an entourage like, or anything.
Here.
Yeah,
and he shows up and he's sitting there talking to us, and he's telling us this vision he has for AEW.
Yeah,
and we're like, okay, all right.
Let's
see how it goes.
I wish he was still here, but you know, you got to do what you got to do for your family. You got to go where you need to go.
And if he could put the Rock shoulders to the mats 1, 2, 3 at WrestleMania, that'd be nice too. You know.
That would be huge.
Okay.
I mean, the TKO group holding, you know, boss laying down for Cody Rhodes would be really cool.
Absolutely.
Is Moana going to do that, though? That's the question.
That, I don't know. What can I say?
The movie?
Yeah, that's The Rock.
I saw a picture of him today. He looks huge. Huge on set. It's just a little back screen shot of him. I'm just like, Jesus, that guy is so huge.
He is. We talked about the party tonight at Texas Live,
yes.
AEW. The party is to kick off kind of the march to All In, which is going to be July 12th, Globe Life Field here in Arlington. I already shamelessly plugged that we have 4 tickets to bid off of that next week. How big of a deal is that to have it here? Because I know the last 2 years, obviously, at Wembley Stadium, and you've had 80,000 in like 55,000 give or take. So it has been a massive event.
Huge. Our first United States stadium show, right? And in Texas, home for me. I pray to God that I have something big on this show, and I probably will, and it's going to be an awesome experience. I've been in the Texas stadium. Now we get to go to Globe Life Field. I mean, my goodness, just a very cool feeling for me being, you know, a Texan, a native Texan. We're coming home.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, it doesn't matter if it's not in Austin, it's Dallas, wherever, San Antonio, Houston. This is home to me. So,
well, like I said, we have Tony Khan on the show quite frequently. And so I'm thinking the last All In was built around Bryan Danielson winning the world title,
right,
for wrapping it up.
Right.
So if I'm allowed to book this and just start planning out right now,
book it.
We got 7 or 8 months to build up Dustin Rhodes.
Let's do it.
Trying to win his world title.
I like it.
Okay.
Micah Parsons wants to fight Jake Paul. Why don't we get him in AEW?
I need Micah Parsons to walk me to the ring.
Ooh, that would be
awesome.
All right.
So, Dallas Cowboy inspired gear. I mean, just, you know.
I feel like we're helping out. Mike, hopefully we're selling tickets too.
Yeah.
Mike, as much as they're breaking my heart right now, still, I'm an ultimate Dallas fan, man. Never Houston.
Do you think you're sadder about this Cowboys season, or you'll be sadder Thanksgiving weekend when the Longhorns have lost right to the Aggies?
You know, it's a rivalry renewed.
I'm so excited about that. It's been years.
I am very excited about it. A&M's tough this year. They really are. I think we're tough, too.
My 16-year-old son talked it into existence. He's like, I'm going to that game. And he was telling me and mom, was like, what if I drive down there? I'll sleep in my car. And we're like, no, you're not sleeping in your car as a 16-year-old, this and that. And he ended up figuring out how to get a ticket to that game.
It's so, College Station, too. So it's going to be we got our work cut out for us. Because I think one of you said it earlier, we haven't had any big wins this year.
Yeah.
I think Vanderbilt was our biggest win, you know. Georgia first half just killed us. So it's like, if we get that rematch, that'd be nice, you know, and hopefully beat it this time. I think we can do it. I really do. And I'm just hoping that they make it to the championship, the Natty, man. It'd be really cool.
I will root for a lot of success for you and AEW.
Yeah.
I won't root for that, though.
I got you.
I hope you understand.
Hey, go Aggies. Gig them.
Oh, I love it.
No,
see
how he's no. Gig them down, baby. Gig them down. Horns up.
So tonight at Texas Live for the All-In kickoff, 6 to 9.
Presale, baby.
Yeah, exactly. And they got the presales for All-In. If you want to go ahead and buy your tickets before just about anybody else can, you can do that tonight at Texas Live as well. Man,
we have some great packages too. So there's all kind of VIP packages. It's really cool.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for giving us so much of your time as well. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, guys.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Dustin Rhodes right here.
Hook 'em horns, baby.
Oh,
let's go. That's where your son wants to go to school.
That is true. That is.
My kid wants to go.
That breaks my heart just a little bit.
You know, another team I like right now is SMU, though.
Let's go.
Oh, my gosh.
They're really tough.
They got a shot at the playoff as well.
They do, man. I've always liked SMU ever since Ron Simmons went there.
I thought he was, wasn't he Florida State?
Not Ron. Who was it that
went to? Did I just mess up your flow? I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm trying to remember who. God, who was it?
I like Derek Dickerson. I'll claim him.
John Konkak. I watched him at SMU.
They're not going to be helpful to you, Dustin. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I can't remember now. Yeah, that's right. He's Florida State.
Thank you very much. There goes Dustin Rhodes, AEW, tonight, Texas Live, 6 to 9 p.m. Thank you very much. If you want to get involved in the party, if you want to get your pre-sale tickets, obviously, selfishly, I'll tell you, we will have some tickets for Peace-a-thon next week as well. And Dustin Rhodes is about to sign Mike Bassick's chair, which, again, not to be an infomercial, also available as part of the auctions at Peace-a-thon.
Like I said, he left a huge impression on me before, and I love sitting here and being part of that just now, too.
So now, who has signed our chair now for Peace-a-thon?
Oh, man. We do.
Just Dustin Rhodes.
We have a.
And The Office.
Yep.
And
Tom
and
Packer.
I don't know if it's still there.
SMU, that was Hacksaw Duggan.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan is what we've come up with. There we go.
Kevin, I got to do this right now.
Let's give something away! 877-881-1053. Caller number 10. Now we'll win a pair of seated tickets for the Cowboys-Giants at AT&T Stadium on Thanksgiving. These tickets are courtesy of Miller Lite. So thank you, Miller Lite, for making this happen. Caller number 10 right now, 877-881-1053. And now it's time for Mike Likes It. David Koechner, by the way, is the actor.
This is going to be the best chair we ever given away, right?
You're
I
right.
Mean, this will be, I agree. Third or fourth chair that I've bought.
I think it is the fourth now.
But yeah, we're getting some big time autographs on there just besides us. So that's cool. Now, I want to go back to you.
We're saying goodbye. We don't actually go to a break here. I know that seems logical, but it's the expressway. Content, no breaks. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. I want to talk about that Kansas City Buffalo game you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
What were the ratings on that again? Just to remind the audience.
I believe it's 31.2 million viewers, which was the fourth most in that time slot since 1988 and the highest non-holiday or playoff game since 2007.
Okay. Here's my question, and I don't agree with this. If you want to say my answer is yes, my answer is not no, but it's tough to put him into this category. Is Patrick Mahomes entering Michael Jordan status in our society?
Interesting.
I think so because he has the, and we talked about this with Tim Duncan and Kobe a few weeks back. He has the pop culture swag and representation to go with it. Whether it's
that Duncan didn't.
Yeah, exactly. Whether it's commercials, whether it's quarterback, whether it's just how much extra attention has come to him and the team because of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Not that they weren't already great. I'm not saying that, but he has a huge pop culture imprint as well as being really damn good at football.
Is he as worldwide though? As Jordan was at that point, because when the Olympics happened, he couldn't walk.
It's a good question. I don't know because there's not like Olympics for football or there's not like a way to know, like, when's Patrick Mahomes going to go to Barcelona or when is he going to go to, let's just say, Seoul, Korea or something. Right. I'm naming former Olympic places pretty much, but like, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. And I think it's too high to put him on Jordan level because it's not like this. They do make Adidas Mahomes shoes. They're not just selling off of the shelves immediately. They're on the shelves for a long time. They ended up getting discounted, at some point because, hey, shoes aren't like what they were in the 80s/90s. But I was just thinking about these numbers. And you do have Josh Allen on the other side. There is a draw on the other side. Because if he's playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's not going to have the same number. So there has to be that rival guy with him. And so I was thinking about Mahomes. And what's interesting about asking this question, and I was thinking about it when I heard the numbers last night.
Yeah, it's incredible.
On this game is... Michael Jordan was always, even though he didn't win every MVP, it was almost like they decided not to give it to him just to be nice to other players in the league. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, give it to Karl Malone. He's like, everybody knows that it's Jordan, but they're like, yeah, well, he gets it all the time. Like, can we give it to somebody else? And I know that Mahomes is not hitting that status last year or this year. Mahomes will not be in the conversation for MVP. And last year, Mahomes wasn't in the conversation for MVP, yet he won the Super Bowl, was MVP of the Super Bowl. And so I was just like, gosh, I wonder if Mahomes is going to get these type of numbers in the playoffs, because Jordan wasn't getting, if they were on TNT back in the day playing the Seattle Sonics, I'm sure that they got a nice number in the regular season, but it wasn't like a crazy number. But come playoff time, the Bulls' numbers for playoff ratings were unbelievable. And I'm wondering, for these playoffs coming up, I know that we're still 7-8 weeks away, but will Mahomes be hitting numbers?
Yes. And I think he will, because they're going for something unprecedented. They're going for the three-peat of the Super Bowl. I know NFL teams have won three straight championships before, but it's never happened strictly in the Super Bowl era. So I think people will watch. But the other thing, Corey, I don't know if you agree with this or not, and I'm not saying it's fair, but Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have also drifted to some into villain category because, honestly, it's because they win a lot. I know other people will have other reasons, but now people are watching for him to lose as well. And so I think that's going to drive these numbers through the roof.
It makes it even bigger. I mean, look at the Cowboys. Sure. The Cowboys could be liked.
Yes.
But whenever they're liked and hated, the number is bigger. The thing that I find really that I like a lot about it is he got his shot at Brady, right? But Brady was the old guard of that era. And now he's get these other guys that are his contemporaries, similar age to him, are getting shots at him. That feels more like this generation is getting like its group of go after him a little bit.
I like that you're saying that. For our younger audience or for people who might not be as educated about the past, when they say Michael Jordan beat nobody, that would be like saying Patrick Mahomes is beating nobody in this era. That you're saying Josh Allen is bad, Joe Burrow is bad. Everybody's a bad NFL quarterback. Everybody's a bad NFL team. If you believe that today, you're living today and you're listening and you're a huge NFL fan, but you're in your 20s or maybe your 30s. So you didn't spend any time watching sports in the 80s or 90s. Michael Jordan was playing a whole bunch of really good players. It wasn't trash NBA basketball.
Think about at least four people. It's probably way more than that. Patrick Ewing, Reggie Miller, John Stockton, Karl Malone. Their legacies were all directly impacted because he was the stopper to keep them from getting their championships. They're Barkley all great. Too. They're all, who's that?
Barkley.
Barkley. And you could argue to a certain extent, Dominique Wilkins. They were all there. Remember, the Bad Boy Pistons stopped being a thing because Michael Jordan shut it down. And he was like, you're done.
So I want to transition real quick. I have a few minutes here, and this goes back into baseball nuggets. I wanted to get to this, and I'll get to it here. I found this interesting on players who did not receive qualifying offers. So yesterday we found out, besides Nick Martinez, who took the qualifying offer, which was $21.05 million, he took that one-year deal at 34 years old. We talked about that yesterday. Everybody else turned down that qualifying offer that was offered it. And I'll just like Juan Soto, just to give you like an example.
He's sure.
taking a 1 year, $21 million. Anthony Santander, who I'd love for the Rangers to get, but that's pretty impossible on what money he's going to get. Pete Alonso, Max Fried, guys like that. But I found this interesting on just trying to figure out markets. We talked yesterday about Walker Buehler at the end of the show, because it was really quick. Corey pointed out that Corey Seager, I believe, talked about Walker Buehler, and he's a guy that you want to have the ball in big situations. Corey Seager is a big fan of his former teammate Walker Buehler. Well, and I get this. They didn't offer him the qualifying offer because of his injury history, because of his lack of production this season.
Yeah.
Even though he had a really nice playoffs, I get it. They were like, we do not want to even offer him the one-year $21 million deal because they were afraid he was going to take it, to be honest. By the way, they are having discussions with Juan Soto. So moving Mookie Betts into the infield, they are talking. I'm not saying it's getting done today or tomorrow, but the Dodgers are in the Juan Soto business.
I told Brandon about that, and he just looked at me and he goes, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
They'll become villain if that happens.
The Padres did not offer. I mean, this is somewhat old news, but I just want to make sure people are hearing more because it's football season.
Yeah.
They didn't offer Jerickson Profar after this all-star year, after this great batting average, great season. They did not give him the ability to accept a one-year $21 million offer.
Wow.
So it doesn't mean that Jerickson Profar isn't valuable in the free agent market this year, because he wasn't last year. The Rangers could have had him for $2 million.
Nothing,
They had offered him 1 year, $2 million. They would have won the bidding war, and he would have said yes to the Rangers. Obviously, that's not going to happen this year. But I do think it's interesting to know that the Dodgers and the Padres, two guys we've talked about, would the Rangers have any interest in Walker Buehler? Would the Rangers have any interest in Profar being this DH first base left fielder for the Rangers playing every day? Well, the Padres are telling you, we did not want to give Profar the ability to take a one-year $21 million offer. So I think if you thought the number could be close to $20 million for Profar, I don't think
probably
it is. Because even what he did for the Padres weren't willing to do a one-year deal at that number. So just wanted to kind of give you that. Gleyber Torres was not offered the qualifying offer. Not that the Rangers would have any interest in him. But
did that surprise you at all?
Well, it's weird because I remember when the Rangers were playing the Yankees later in the year, and Jazz Chisholm was playing third base and made a major mistake. I think he forgot it was a force play and tried to make a tag, and the Rangers slid underneath the tag.
Yeah.
And it was almost like he should know this. He's a major leaguer, but he's not been a third baseman in his career. He moved to third base because of the trade, and Gleyber wouldn't move off a second. So I do think this, at the time they said, everybody was like, well, Jazz Chisholm's going to play third base for now. He's going to be their second baseman.
Yeah.
That's who they traded for their future. They're letting Gleyber Torres go. I think this is showing you, even though they made it to the World Series, Gleyber Torres was a great leadoff hitter for him in the postseason. I do think that the Yankees are still sticking with the plan is, We traded for Jazz Chisholm to be our future second baseman. Gleyber Torres will not be a future Yankee.
Okay.
Because to your point, they probably would offer him, hey, you want to come back for 1 year, yeah. $21 million? Yeah. Because when they decline the offer, that gives you draft compensation if they sign somewhere else and you don't sign like another guy. Like, let's say you offered Juan Soto.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, if you go out and sign, if you go sign Corbin Burns, then you're
not going to work out
also,
for it. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so it gets a little bit confusing. That takes a little bit of time to discuss stuff like that. But what they were saying was, one, we're afraid that they could accept the 1 year, $21 million deal. And two, if they don't, we just don't want to be on the hook, I guess, for that situation. And we don't think that we're going to get draft pick compensation. Because the thing is, what happens to these guys that don't take the qualifying offer, like a Christian Walker? What happens is nobody signs them until after that date is over right now. So like a guy like Christian Walker is probably not going to sign until March 12th. I can't remember what date it is. It might be March 1st that then the draft, you lose your
compensation.
Because that's where the Rangers picked first round and fourth round, because they lost their second and third round because of signing Seager and Semien. So some teams now will go, well, we're interested in Christian Walker, but we don't want to lose our second round draft pick. Yeah. So we're not going to sign him. And we know other teams are not willing to take that penalty too. He won't sign until midway through spring training.
For the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, what a feverish whirlwind of a segment that was. Coming up next, it's going to be the C-Block starring Corey Majors. I want to throw this out there real quick, though. Our winners today, Ruben in Fort Worth, Cole in Crossroads, and then in this last segment, Chris in Princeton won. They all won Thanksgiving tickets for Cowboys Giants.
Smart guy.
Absolutely.
In Princeton.
Now, remember, I think Prince, I mean, he could still be smart.
You
but,
have to go.
Okay.
You called in.
Now, the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
We'll have a quick Cowboys question, but also, we have an Are You Better for today.
Oh, no.
Coming up next on The Fan.